All right, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Everybody, welcome. Thank you for coming out. As you can see, I'm not in my normal spot. We have a wonderful opportunity here to welcome Real Options here. And Lindsay, I'm going to butcher it, Hyvonen. I said it. All right, I got it right. I practiced. I did, I promise. And she's going to share with us. We support their ministry. She's going to share with us what's going on there. All the great things that are happening, how we can continue to help and support them. And without robbing any thunder, without further ado, Lindsay, please.
Thank you so much. Well,
it's on the little pack, the little switch right here, the little switch in the middle.
The one that you told me about.
That's all right.
I obviously forgot. Now you can hear me? Okay, well, great. Thank you so much, Pastor, for inviting me, and Amanda, you know, set this up. We've been back and forth via email. It's been just wonderful to spend these first few minutes with you. You probably all know this, but you've got a really talented team up here. I was so blessed. Seriously, amen. I just, wow, was moved by the singing, and I absolutely love the choice of songs today. It was really beautiful. So let me just start with a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this invitation to be here today. I thank you for this church here, Lord, that is shining your light in a part of New Hampshire, this small little knoll of New Hampshire, Lord. What an important task that they are here shining your light, Lord. I pray a blessing on them. I pray that my words will be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I just thank you for this opportunity. In your name, amen. So, Real Options Pregnancy Help Services. This is the only thing. I might have to stand out to see what has the PowerPoint started. Oh, it's gone. So, I'll call for the slides. So, can you go back to one? It shouldn't be the first one. It should be our location. It's right there. Perfect. Yes. So, Real Options Pregnancy Help Services. We are in the two largest cities in New Hampshire. We're in Manchester and Nashua. And you, if you go to the second slide, you'll see the inside of our, it's just the waiting room in both of our locations. We have been serving in both of those cities since 1985, so it's been a very long time. We were founded by a group of Christians who really wanted to offer an alternative to the abortion clinic for those facing unplanned pregnancies. So we've changed our name over the years, we've moved our locations, but we have never left that mission. We are the alternative to the abortion clinic. And it's interesting to note that we were formed 1 year after President Ronald Reagan issued the proclamation declaring a Sanctity of Human Life Day. President Reagan was so disturbed by all of the abortions that had taken place since Roe v. Wade that he wanted to set aside a day where people could recognize the sanctity of human life. And I think Reagan would be devastated to see how many abortions are now taking place in our country and just how far that industry has gone. You may have heard it said, the most dangerous place in America to be right now is inside of a womb because there's not much protection. So what I'm going to do today is I'm really just going to share some practical ways that we can all be involved. I'm going to share more specifically about the ministry. And then I have a video at the end, which everyone always likes videos, right? It's a short one. But before I do that, I just want to honor God by taking a few minutes to share from his word. So there's so many verses that support life, certainly life before the womb in the Bible. But if we were to start at the beginning, we'd go to the first book, the first chapter, and the first words. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created." So it's important to remember that God is the creator and sustainer of life. Of course, Genesis goes on to expound about all of God's creation. And we know John 1:3 says all things were made by him. So there are so many amazing pro-life verses. You probably think of Psalm 139 being knit together in your mother's womb. Job talks about the same thing. But I wanted to read for you a passage that is one of my absolute favorites. And if you don't have your Bibles, I'll read for you. If you want to turn there, you're more than welcome to. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 41. And this is a very familiar passage. This is where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is pregnant, and she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. So starting at verse 41, it says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And this is just profound. This, how can there be any more of a testament of life in the womb? This wasn't cells and tissue. This was a baby leaping for joy at the voice of his Lord's mother. So I just love that passage of scripture. And it's interesting to note, too, the Greek word for baby there is human being. It's not just tissue. It's actual human being. So we know what the Bible says about taking life, right? We know the Ten Commandments. We know that thou shalt not kill. Proverbs 6, I can read that for you if you want to turn there, though. I just have a couple verses. I won't spend too much time reading too many verses. But in Proverbs 6:16, it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. I can't think of anything more innocent than preborn life. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So we can see right there, you know, hands that shed innocent blood. It also mentions, of course, there the lying and the deceitfulness, which the abortion industry is full of. So what does this mean for us as Christians? We know that God is the creator of life. We know it is truly life in the womb, and we know we're not supposed to take that life. Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 21:8 that we are to speak for those who have no voice. More specifically, in Proverbs 24:11, if you want to flip over to that really quick, and this is my last section I'm going to read for you. It says, Proverbs 24:11, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we didn't know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? So this is a serious section of scripture, which is talking about, you know, those being taken over to death. And what is our responsibility there? We can't sit around and go, we didn't know any of this was going on, right? We all know. And so what do we do? What is a practical way that we can rescue those, you know, being taken away from death? It's not reasonable to think that everybody's going to leave their full-time jobs and work full-time in the ministry, right? I was surprised when the Lord called me. I had been on the board of directors for 8 years. I had volunteered back in the 90s up in Concord at a CareNet center. But I still was really surprised. And God has work for all of us to do in all sorts of areas of life. But I do think that as Christians, we can all do something. There's something we can all do. So I'm going to just share with you some practical ways. The first one is prayer. Probably it doesn't take much imagination to realize that this ministry, we stand in direct opposition to the father of lies. This is a ministry of life. We're in opposition to death. And so it can get really heavy some days at the centers, I have to tell you. I'm so sensitive to that spiritual warfare going on. We know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have nothing to fear, but some days you just feel that battle between life and death every day going on. And I cannot tell you the encouragement that comes to all of us at the centers when we get a phone call, an email, a text. Sometimes I get a letter in the mail. It's from someone. I have no idea who it is. It just has a Bible verse, and it says, we're praying for you. One time a church secretary just emailed and said, prayed for you guys today, and it's so encouraging. We know it pleases the Lord when we bring our petitions to him, so I ask for your prayers. Sometimes I think we need to ask less for, you know, financial support and just pray more. So praying, that's one easy, practical way. I have to share. Last year, our team was able to meet an older gentleman. He's quite elderly and infirmed, and he prays for the centers all across the country. That's his ministry. I think he takes maybe 5 a day during business days, and I've been in both centers. He's prayed for. He'd call us up and say, "Put me on speakerphone. I want to pray for you." And it's just we all, whoever can gather gathers, and that's his ministry. He's like, I'm not blessed financially. You know, I can't get out and do a lot, but I know I can pray for centers. So prayer, that's incredible. Volunteering. we have more volunteers than staff. We run a pretty lean machine. I like to joke that my very first day as executive director, someone was like, let me show you how to clean the bathroom. I didn't care. That was something I knew how to do. So I was like, that's good. I definitely know how to clean the bathroom, mop a floor. Everything else I'm learning. So we run a lean operation. We have literally an army of volunteers that it takes to make it happen. Some train to go through the program and become client advocates. Some stuff envelopes. Some keep our boutique running. There's just so many ways that, and it's not always like daily or weekly in the centers. We've had photographers say, hey, I can take pictures for free at your event. We just had somebody with a carpet cleaning business come and do a deep, thorough cleaning of one of our centers. So those are just practical ways. Another way is certainly giving. Some of us will be called to financially partner. And we have all these baby bottles up here. And I believe you've done this before, but we have three large fundraisers. You could go to the next slide now. I didn't forget. is that our walk? Does that say Walk for Life up there? Yep. So we have three big fundraisers. You know, we've existed since 1985 because God has moved hearts to be benevolent towards us, to give towards us. And that's the only way we're here, right? Because God moves hearts. But we have three fundraisers. We have our Walk for Life, which is May 7th, our banquet, which is October 21st, and then we have the baby bottle benefit, which goes on throughout the whole year, anytime churches want to participate in that. I just want you to know, it's not just putting change in a bottle. Okay, this last year we raised over $50,000, I can tell you, in the bottles alone, which is huge. So you're a part of this. You're not just putting change in a bottle. We like to say spare change saves lives. You have a direct impact on life in our communities. And let me go a step further and tell you one of the programs that we started last year, which some of these funds paid for. When I started, I felt really strongly that we needed to start advertising on social media. I had no idea how much that cost, but I felt the Lord was leading me in that. So we were on Google My Business, Facebook, Instagram. We're moving to Snapchat. And I cannot tell you how incredible this has been for our ministry. We have had such an increase of abortion-minded women seeing these ads and coming through our doors. So it's been, God has really blessed this efforts. We're continuing the efforts, but it does take dollars. And so the baby bottles were a part of that. I just want to connect you to exactly what happens. And let me just tell you that when we have an ad and it pops up, you know, our ad pops up somewhere in, you know, one of these things, Facebook, there's a short little form that clients will fill out if they're interested. Really short, the shorter the better, the metrics have shown. And it goes immediately in real time to both the center directors and myself. I just back them up. They really do the meat of it. But we don't just have, you know, everyone's backs during office hours. The center directors have the phones in off hours. So it could be Christmas morning, you know, could be, but they're there. They don't answer it in the middle of the night, of course, but they are available. If they're up late at night and they get a contact request saying, hey, you know, I need help. I want to get an abortion. Can someone call me or whatever? They're able to do that. So that's a part of the ministry people don't realize. We are available to our clients, really not quite 24/7, but a lot of the time. So two other ways that are practical ways that you can help, and not necessarily our ministry, but just in general. One is we have to continue the conversation, right? When I took this job, a well-meaning friend said something to me. She said, oh my goodness, wow, now that you're doing this job, like, you probably shouldn't bring this up at, like, Christmas parties, family events, holidays. Nobody wants to hear about abortion. Like, it's way too polarizing. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. And then I was like, wait a second, we know what God's word says. We can speak the truth in love and kindness to our brothers and sisters. We don't need to fight about it, right? We should be, but we have to keep the conversation going. And I do, sometimes when people ask what I do for work and I bring it up, I'm like, ugh, like, I don't want to hear about that. But we can approach this with kindness. So I think we have to continue the conversation and not shy away from it. The world is so political and, you know, people are afraid of offending everybody, but we don't have to worry about offending anybody, right? We just have to speak the truth in love. God's word calls us to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, and so that's what we have to remind ourselves. Another practical way is we really, as Christians, need to work towards having laws that favor life. And we're not political as a ministry, but I feel as a Christian, I do need to be involved in this way for life. You may not know this, but New Hampshire is considered one of the most abortion-friendly states in the entire country. There are many reasons for this. One reason is because as of this past January 1st, we had absolutely no laws to protect unborn life. You could have an abortion at any phase through all 40 weeks of pregnancy. Further, New Hampshire has no reporting laws. There's only three states in the country with no reporting laws. What that means is we don't report abortion statistics. We have no idea how many are happening, you know, what stage of a pregnancy they're happening. We have nothing. There's no laws about checking the abortion clinics. There's no laws about who can and cannot perform an abortion. So we're kind of rogue here. But praise God, as of January 1st of this year, there was a law put on the books protecting life in the womb at 24 weeks. Unfortunately, as soon as that went into effect, there were efforts to overturn it. I think there's a vote coming to the House this week. They've really tried to gut this bill. So this is a way that we certainly can be involved as Christians. I want to let you know, too, that it is now easier than ever to get an abortion in this country. And I'll say that again, it is easier than ever to get an abortion in this country. There are reasons for that. You've probably heard of the abortion pill. Well, that's actually been around since the year 2000, I think is when it first started. It took a while to kind of pick up, but during COVID, telehealth became very popular, and this really had a huge impact. I just heard a statistic recently, it was just last week, I haven't checked it myself, but it said the abortion pill is now accounting for more than half of the abortions taking place in this country because it is so easy to get one of these abortions. It's called abortion by medication, chemical abortion, as I said, RU46, DIY, I can't even believe that, but DIY abortion. It's terribly tragic. Any abortion is tragic, but our nurses have talked to women who have had these type of abortions. I don't know if anyone saw the movie Unplanned, very similar to that, just horrific. And so it's really important what we do. I mean, that makes our services even more essential. And so if you could pull up the next slide, I just want to call attention to this. So we have two websites. We have one, as you just saw, the friendsoflife.org. That is for our donors and friends. And we have another website. This is Real Options and Real Options NH. So this is for women looking for information. I take this head on because we did update our website this year. This was something new we did. Yes, abortion. There's an abortion tab. I've taken calls this year, as have the center directors. Why are you talking about abortion? You're pro-life. You're Christian. This is terrible. Like, we don't want to support you. We want to talk to them about abortion because if we're not telling them the truth about risks, procedures, and the aftermath, no one is doing it. We know when they go to the abortion clinic, they do not even get the opportunity to look at their ultrasound screen. It says further down on our website, we don't perform or refer for abortions, but we do, again, want to speak the truth in love to people who are facing unplanned pregnancies and may consider that an option. When someone has an unplanned pregnancy, there are three options. They can choose to parent, they can make an adoption plan, or they can have an abortion legally in this state. And so we invite them in, even if they say, well, I really want to have an abortion. Great, come on in and talk to us. We want to be able to talk to you through that. Our nurses have all kinds of medical information. We, of course, want to see them have an ultrasound because we know, and statistics tell us, close to 80% of women considering an abortion who see life on the ultrasound screen, they're going to choose life. So we invite them in. I just like to take it head on. That's our website. Certainly call me if you have any more questions about that. So as I said, you know, what does this mean for pregnancy centers? You know, it's easier than ever to get an abortion. Well, as I said, it means our services are more essential than ever. So if you want to go to the next slide. This is just a little, yes, this is just a little graph kind of showing you Real Options in the middle and all of the impact that we have. The meat and potatoes of what we do really are the free pregnancy testing and the limited obstetric ultrasounds, right? That is a huge part of our ministry. So I want to tell you a little story. There's so many stories I could tell you. I could stand up here all day and tell you stories, but I want to share with you a story just to show you the impact of the ultrasounds. And we had someone come into one of the centers. She had a baby in her arms. She asked for the center director. And the center director came out, and the woman said, "Do you remember me?" This particular center director, she like has an amazing memory. Of course she remembered her. And this client, it might surprise you to hear this, but oftentimes we have women come into the center. By the grace of God, they come in. They already have an appointment at the abortion clinic. Could be that afternoon. Could be the next day, next week. And they'll tell us, "I already have an appointment, but I'll come in. It's free to come in and talk to you." We're like, "Come on in." So this client had come in, had a free pregnancy test, free ultrasound, and she left saying, I'm going to stick with my appointment at the abortion clinic. I'm going to have an abortion." But here she stood with her baby in her arms. And so she told the story of how everybody was telling her to abort. There was not one person in her life saying, "You can do this." And we wish we had walked with her through that. But of course, there were follow-up calls to try to reach out to her, and she didn't respond. But here she was, compelled to come back. And we are so grateful that the image of that ultrasound screen was burned in her memory, helping her stand strong against the voices yelling and shouting, "Abort this baby." She just couldn't do it. And she had tears pouring down her face as she looked at her baby, and she said, "I look at my son, and I think to myself, what if I had canceled your appointment and gone to the abortion clinic instead?" She said, "He wouldn't be alive today. He wouldn't be alive today." So that's just one little story to give you the impact of the ultrasound. I could tell you so much more. I'm writing an article right now for our newsletter about four stories like this, and it's really amazing. So if you look up on the screen, you'll also see, I'll kind of do two together. It says, material support and earn while you learn, parenting classes. If you go to the next slide, this is a picture of one of our boutiques. So if someone decides to parent, we have what's called earn while you learn. We want them to invest in their learning, so they get mommy or daddy dollars. We have male client advocates who train dads in practical fatherhood. We know it's so important that we get the men involved, because they are the number one influencer on an abortion decision. And so we want to invite them to the centers. We invite them to the ultrasounds. We want to offer them classes in parenting. So they get mommy and daddy dollars, and each week they go into the boutique and they get to shop for clothing and all sorts of things. It's kind of neat to see the dads in there picking out the clothes and doing things. But so that's one way that we support. And if you go to the next one. One more, sorry. So these are just some of the comments from some of the dads, and some of it's really basic. I learned how to say sorry, you know, so you can just read those up on the screen, but these are exit interviews that they do, and a lot of these guys have never had a man mentor them in any way, so it's really an amazing program. Next slide goes back to our services. So Christianity Explored, this year I made sure that it was on my heart that we would all do gospel training, that we would all be sure and just shored up in how to share the gospel, because we are a gospel-based ministry, right? I always like to say we're not just pro-life, we are pro-abundant life. And John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant." So yes, we want to see women and men choose life for their unborn, but more than that, we want to see them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we all went through sharing the gospel. How do we do that? Everything we do is free of cost and free of judgment and permission-based. So of course, we're asking permission. Can I pray with you? You know, recently there was a comment by someone, her favorite part about coming was that someone prayed with her. Often when you ask somebody, "Can I pray with you?" they're not going to say no. They're like, "Okay, this seems weird, but yeah, sure. Maybe that's going to help me." So so Christianity Explored is a short little, we're not the church, right? We're kind of triage. We want to get them hooked into a church if that's what they're interested in. But we do have a short Bible study that we can take them through. It's a few weeks just to tell them what is Christianity, what is the Bible. Relationship training, we haven't been able to do a whole lot of that with COVID. You're probably not surprised. We can't really get into the schools. But that's something we can take into schools and share. And we can also do that in the center. Hey, we get pregnancy tests that are negative, and someone might say, "I have no idea who the father of this baby would have been anyway." Well, hey, we've got relationship training classes. Would you like to take a few? So that's just a great way, again, to minister. I'm going to jump over to adoption. You know, we were all trained in how to speak modern adoption this year. We had it in service just to, you know, to remind ourselves how to do that. We love the adoption option. And I have to tell you, we had a beautiful story of adoption just a few months ago, a couple that had wanted to abort their baby and chose the path of making an adoption plan. And sometimes you make the referral and you don't really hear from them again. But this particular couple, they just connected so well with one of the center directors that she is like a part of their family. I feel like she's so connected with them. And it's been such a beautiful, amazing story. So then that leaves just one little circle up there, and that is mending hearts. Mending Hearts is our post-abortion ministry program. And as I was singing some of the songs this morning, I was thinking of our Mending Hearts program. As Christians, we're not immune to temptation. We're not immune to making an abortion choice, right? We're not immune to believing the lies that we can sweep things under the rug and no one needs to know. So we have a beautiful Bible study called Mending Hearts. We just finished one in one of the centers. It takes women through a program of God's healing and forgiveness, right? And we've had women do this program sometimes 20 years after an abortion. You know, sometimes it's just a few years, but we have to remember to approach our brothers and sisters in love with God's compassion and understanding that, you know, we're not above sin either. So that's just a beautiful program. I always want to say in the churches, if you know anybody who could benefit from that, please pass the word. We love this part of our ministry. You know, we've had women go and have an abortion and then someday they're back, you know, and they recognize that they need Jesus. And so that's just another beautiful, beautiful part of our ministry. So that is just kind of some insight into our services. I do have a video I'd like to introduce for you. And last year our theme was every child deserves a birthday. And that's so true, right? Everyone deserves to be born, blow out those candles one day. This was our theme through all of last year. And we had our banquet just a few short months ago, and we put together a video. We have a videographer, but it was on my heart to show everybody our frontline workers. There's a lot of talk about frontline workers these days. Well, these are our frontline workers. They're our staff, our client advocates, the boots on the ground efforts that are meeting with clients every day, doing that hard work. I get to get up here and talk about it, but they're doing this hard work every day in the centers. So in this video, it features them. And then at the end, there's a little piece from one of our clients. It's always good to see one of the clients directly. And she kind of just took the phone, did it herself. The videographer left it very unedited, just a little bit of music, but you'll hear from her. So our theme for this year actually is, which again, your songs this morning were perfect. It's about shining. It's centered around shining God's light in the darkness. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And I want to thank you for helping us pierce the darkness with boldness. When you are partnering with us, you know, this is your legacy work for God's kingdom right along with us. You stand shoulder to shoulder with us, whether we're in the ultrasound room, whether we are teaching a new mom how to swaddle her baby. This is your legacy work for the kingdom right along with us. And I want to just say thank you. I'll leave you with one verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I thought I had marked here perfectly. Verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So your labor is not in vain. I want you to know that. Thank you for being steadfast and movable, for supporting this ministry. I pray God's blessing over you. Again, we have the baby bottles. Amanda will probably do more announcement about that, but if you want to just play the video now, that's all I have. Thank you.
This ministry personally is really close to my heart because my mom faced an unexpected pregnancy at 16 years old, and she had no one to support or to encourage her. But thankfully, she still chose life, and that life was my life.
Some of these clients that are coming in are really in a moment of crisis in their life. They come to us because they don't know where else to turn. And I feel like we're able to be there for them in that moment of crisis. Our hope is that in coming here, they see the love of Jesus in us. They see the difference that he makes in our life, and we have an opportunity to be able to share that with them.
I love meeting with the clients. I feel like God brings them through our doors, and I feel like every time he brings somebody through, it's an opportunity of him reaching into their life and showing his love.
Working with the women over the years, watching them come through our Bible study where they seek and find God's forgiveness, no condemnation, discussing their loss, discussing their feelings in a safe environment.
One child, one father at a time. And if we can get one father to be a better father and be more responsible, then we've done our job.
Every day God puts people in our path, whether it's on the phone, whether it's an email, whether it's coming through the doors. He gives us the opportunity to be the truth tellers for life. And we only hope that we represent that very well here at Real Options.
Everybody that God created has a right to life.
This is God's ministry, and his fingerprints are all over everything that we do every single day. His great love for us is here. His love for the clients that come through the door is here. His great mercy and his kindness and his compassion flows here. I get really excited to be a part of what he's doing. I feel incredibly privileged to work with the people that I work with in this ministry and to work alongside God and see miracles happen.
When I first came to Real Options, I was pretty much right on the cusp or a little after 5 months pregnant, and I came because I was really scared. I didn't have family support, I didn't have friends, I didn't have, you know, a partner looking out for me and things like that. It was all just me. It was just completely me and God. And I mean, obviously I'm getting like teary right now because it still is like that. And yet I also have Real Options helping me out and encouraging me and letting me know now at 8 months pregnant that I am a mother. It's not just because after you give birth that you're a mother. You're a mother during your pregnancy, and I'm doing everything that I can, and they're doing everything they can to help me out through that. And Real Options has given me that much more confidence and encouragement and faith and hope in keeping my baby and not feeling coerced or pressured or feared into giving her up. And that's something that has been really good for me, to have someone actually have faith in me. To be able to hear someone on the outside say that I can do it, and then really believe that and make me believe it too, has been everything.
I got to to watch that video the other day, and it still has an impact on me watching it this morning. Just this morning, I was reading in Luke chapter 1 also, and this is the scripture verse that really resonated with me this morning. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that is our prayer this morning, that he would turn the hearts of the fathers and the mothers to the children, that we would join our hearts with them, because she can do it, but she needs help and she needs us. And we are the church and the body of Christ. And it is our calling, it is our duty and our obedience to answer that call as well. So we are praying and imploring you to take a bottle or two and fill it with change. You keep it in your car, and when you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you spend, or Starbucks, you might not have as much change after Starbucks, but that's okay. If you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you have that leftover change, fill this every day, whether you go to the gas station or whatever, and put some change in it. And dollars and checks, yes. So dollars and checks work just as well. So teens, you can do this as well. Young people, you can do this. You have an allowance. You can shake your moms and dads down for some change to fill these bottles. We'll give you guys a few weeks to fill those, and then we will collect them and bring them to the center. So at this time, we are going to close our worship time together with another song. Thank you so much for welcoming Lindsay. Thank you for being here with us this morning. And thank you to all of you for partnering for life. Thank you.